Hi again, everybody. Steve Hallstrom filling in for Chris Berg tonight on Point of View. Can you believe we're already halfway through the year? 6 months from today, we'll just be waking up right about now after staying up way too late and having way too much fun ringing in the new year. Tonight, we're going to talk about some issues facing the FM West Fargo area, starting with crime. Our population is up. Our crime is up. No big surprises there, but what are some of the stories behind the headlines as we transition into the second half of the year? Joining us in studio tonight, Fargo Police Chief David Todd and Moorhead PD Chief Shannon Monroe. Gentlemen, welcome to the show. Thanks for coming by.
Thanks for having us, Steve.
Thank you.
Guys, I'll start with by asking you, Shannon. Dave's report for 2018 crime report came out a couple months ago, and yours came out late last week. Tell us a little bit about some of the major trends you saw as you took a look at the numbers from 2018.
Well, you probably have heard there's reports that crime was up 13% from 17 into 18. And I'd like to stress that really there's some fluctuations, but you have to dig a little deeper into those numbers. And an example is in arson, we went from 0 to 2 from 17 to 18. So I have one category that goes up 200%, and that can have quite an effect on your bottom line for the crime rate. So when you look across the board, we've remained pretty much steady.
I did see that your larceny, your theft numbers are up pretty big. Mm-hmm. Some of the major crimes, the big things that might make headlines, those were down pretty good, but then you had a few of those things that ticked the numbers up again. Take a look at, if you would, assess some of the major and the minor, if there is such a thing, infractions of what the numbers look like there.
Well, we're very happy we didn't have any homicides in 2018, so that was down. I already mentioned arson was up significantly, but it was from 0 to 2. Our rape cases, our sexual assault cases, were down pretty significantly. And then on the other side, some things that were up, you mentioned larceny, some other small theft, kind of burglary type cases, and then going a little deeper just into the calls for service, mental health continues to be a category that is climbing every month, every year, it seems.
And Dave, you put the wraps on your report here a short time ago, too. What were some of your findings in the city of Fargo?
We're at 3% increase in crime in 2018 compared to 2017. And certainly we have some of our more serious crimes, what we call our part one crimes, which are usually our felony level crimes. And we had an unusual number of homicides last year. We had 6, and usually we average around 2 to 3. And so that was certainly significant to us. But I would say that for the most part, it's our property crimes that kind of drive things for us. And we really think that a lot of that property crime is driven by addiction. Mm. So whether that's addiction to meth or to opioids, that we think that's driving a lot of behavior.
Dave, you've been on the job on the police force here in Fargo for a number of years now.
Yep.
2 or 3 years, I think, maybe a couple more than that. You've seen things change over time, more than 2 decades doing work in the PD. How has life in Fargo changed for a law enforcement officer?
Well, it's changed a lot. I've been here almost 32 years now.
Okay.
And you know, law enforcement, when I first started, was somewhat simplistic. You worked a beat, and it was a different beat every day or every night. And so you were putting Band-Aids on problems. You weren't solving them long term. So when we adopted community-oriented policing, we stationed ourselves in one beat for at least a year at a time, and you start to develop relationships. And then you use relationships to solve those problems longer term. Then we shifted not only doing that, but to ComStat, using data to direct our efforts on how we solve crime and allocate our resources. And now we've added intelligence-led policing, where we're developing intelligence on who's committing our crimes and then going after those individuals who are committing our crimes. So we're incorporating all three philosophies.
Shannon, you've been on the job now as the chief for a few months now after moving into that position from one of the team members now to the team leader. How has the transition gone for you?
Well, on the way in here today, I asked Dave why he didn't warn me sooner about this. pretty good. As Dave knows too, when you take the job from an inside position, that means everybody beneath you has to move up, and everybody has to get used to what their new duties are going to be. So it takes a little time for everybody to adjust and to learn, myself included. And then, you know, getting hired up to staff. One of our big issues was we were as many as 22 officers short between 16 and 2017. So when you're in a hole that far, then it takes a while to get hired out of it. And we've reached full staff. But now we have a lot of very young officers and with very young staff. I mean, there's a learning curve there as well. And we've got a very good training program and some good supervisors, and things are coming along pretty good.
Dave, how do you assess your hiring matrix with, we know there are more things going on. Is it as simple as to say we've got X amount of crime that we didn't have last year, so we need X amount of people more than we had last year?
You know, what we do primarily is we look at what our population is, and we want to have a certain number of officers per 1,000 population. So when I first took over as chief, we're at 1.29 officers per 1,000, which is pretty low for the Midwest, and we've been slowly trying to work our way up to 1.5 officers, and we're almost there. But we're continuing to grow with the city. One of the things I did was put a strategic plan together for our commission and to show how we needed to grow with the city, and they've been great about adopting that plan and keeping up with it.
Shannon, how about in Moorhead? Do you feel like your hiring pace is keeping up with the need for people on the street and behind the scenes as well?
You know, our council has been very supportive. When I took over the job, I was asked that question many times, and do I need more staff? And I said, you know, until we're at full staff, I really can't answer that question. I would like to see how things are running when we get hired up to full staff. Now we are, and there will be some requests coming here in the future for trying to add staff, doing just like what Dave says, as the city grows. We should, as well as all the departments in the city, you know, they all need to kind of grow at a rate that keeps up with the population.
Dave, you've been in this game for a while here. You've seen the trends and the change. Is Moorhead, do you sense that Moorhead deals with the same kind of things as Fargo, same kind of things as West Fargo, or is it a different, depending on what community you're
in? No, we're all connected, and our criminal element drifts from West Fargo to Moorhead and back and forth. And so that's why it's really important for us to partner in our efforts, which we do through our dispatch center, through our SWAT team and negotiator team and bomb team, through some of the things that we do together in narcotics. Our street crimes unit is a multi-jurisdictional team. So we recognize that we need to work together to solve this as a whole for our community.
Shannon, what keeps you up at night as you think about your city and the job that you do?
I worry about the people you turn out there on the street.
It's you mean release from custody back to society?
I'm sorry, no, my shifts that
your people.
I put out there,
sure.
I worry about them. Kind of like the feeling you first have when you first become a parent and you have people that you're supposed to take care of, you know, and then you become a sergeant, a supervisor, and you worry about the people that work for you. And then when you're the chief, you ultimately worry about those people that are out there. I'm sorry. Well, Dave lost an officer in the line of duty, and I never want to experience that. As close as I was to that incident, I can't imagine going through that. So that's one of my biggest worries. You know, obviously, the community itself is as well. Mm-hmm. We don't want any of those major incidents to happen in our city, but those are the main things I think that kind of keep you up at night.
Yeah, Dave, you've seen that firsthand. Is there a day that goes by when you don't think about Jason?
No. I have my daily reminder of Jason that I wear every day. But I swear in usually up to 20 officers a year, and when I swear them in, their families are there to pin their badge on. And it's not uncommon for a parent to just say, you know, don't let anything happen to my son or daughter. And so you feel a huge responsibility as the command officer in charge of them. We do what we can do. We provide them the best training possible, the best equipment. We try to provide the best pay and benefits for them to reward them for what they're doing and encourage them. But there is risk to this job.
Mm. Mental health is an issue that I think I've talked to each of you and Chief Yonke from West Fargo about as well. I just saw a note this morning, Generation Z, the younger half, ages up to 24, the increase in suicide is up 50% over the last decade or so. Shannon, you see this, I'm sure you get the calls like I know Dave does as well. Tell me about how you equip your team for that and what goes into that. That's not like, hey, you're breaking the law, come with me. That's someone sitting on the other end of the phone with a gun pointed at their head, and your people have to talk them through it. What's it like to be a law enforcement officer in this day and age, in this community, when mental health issues are so predominant?
Well, they're very time-consuming, very resource-consuming, because you can't just send one officer to those kind of calls. Usually it's multiple officers. If weapons are involved, it can get even bigger than that, of course. Our officers are trained in CIT, it's crisis intervention training, and we shoot for the entire department. to be trained in that. Not all of them are yet at this point. However, it helps them with de-escalation, with recognizing the crisis that the person is going through, and trying to kind of cut through all of the stress that's going on with those calls, and hopefully resolve the situation peacefully.
Dave, what does our community need to know, those that don't see the darker side of things like you and your men and women do?
Well, I think the community needs to know the size of the problem. Example, last year we answered over 1,300 suicidal persons calls last year. And so it's a significant issue out there. And you're right, there are a lot of mental health issues that we're dealing with. And Shannon touched on that. And we provide the training for our officers. But what I think what the community could help us with is if they suspect something, or they see something, or they hear something that causes them concern about somebody's welfare, that they should call us. They should never say, "I didn't want to bother you." You're not bothering us. That's our job. We'd rather go check on the problem.
Guys, we could fill a two-hour show very easily,
absolutely.
And we're out of time. But thank you for coming by. Thank you for the work that you and your men and women do for keeping our community safe. Appreciate you very much. God bless and take care.
Thanks, Steve.
Fargo Police Chief Dave Todd, Moorhead Police Chief Shannon Monroe here on Point of View. When we come back, we'll find out how the business community is faring at the midway point of 2019. Craig Whitney, President and CEO of the FM West Fargo Chamber, when we come back on Point of View. Welcome back to Point of View. Steve Hallstrom in for Chris Berg tonight. One of the stories that I am fascinated with is how this area's business community continues to grow. No matter where you look in the metro, there's construction, development, expansion, and growth. I happen to be a business owner myself, and Scott Hennon own a couple of radio stations and a public relations shop. And as I see the local landscape and the national scene, the Trump economy has been a butt kicker, no two ways about it. Here in the metro, property developers are making big bets on big buildings. The Block E in Moorhead, the Block 9 in Fargo, West Fargo along Veterans Avenue has been exploding all the way from 52nd Avenue up north to Maine. There are more job openings than workers, and local groups are coming together to solve the workforce problem. Craig Whitney is the CEO and president of the Chamber of Fargo Moorhead West Fargo. Craig, good to see you, my friend.
Good
thanks
to be
for
here.
By.
Thanks for asking me, Steve.
So there are a lot of jobs open right now in the metro area, and there's a lot of opportunity for a lot of folks. Give us a state of affairs with workforce and the economy here locally right now.
Well, I'll tell you what's interesting is I just discovered today that the figure that we have been using up until just very recently has been that there's been 4,500 open jobs just in the Fargo, Moorhead, West Fargo area. Mm-hmm. And I see that that's now down to about 3,000.
Okay.
So that is encouraging to some extent. But, you know, we're in a very interesting situation that I think a lot of communities maybe aren't experiencing. That is, you made reference to it, we have very low unemployment. Right now it's 2.1. It has been, it's the lowest in the state. It has been the lowest in the country for quite some time. I don't know if it still is. But yet we still have this growth that you referred to. So we hear about companies and businesses that are having trouble getting the employees they need, and yet it isn't slowing down the growth, the expansion, and, you know, companies moving here and you know, tackling that issue, you know, head on. Mm. And, you know, we have always looked at that issue as, you know, obviously we're very much free market. We're in favor of competition. You know, we have not supported this government mandated hourly wages. We feel that that should be up to businesses, and they will have to do what they need to do to compete. Mm. And I think for the most part, that's happening.
The companies that have been able to find workers, Craig, and fill their openings, what is it that they are doing that maybe those that are struggling are not?
Well, you know, what's interesting before I answer that is it's been probably about 6 years ago that we partnered with the EDC, the United Way, CVB, and the Fargo-Moorhead Area Foundation. We did a very comprehensive deep dive workforce study. And we really didn't find anything unusual or anything we didn't know, but what we wanted was to confirm that our thought process was correct. And at that point, it affected all of the business sectors, from not only the hourly, restaurant, hotel, the service industry, but engineering, doctors, nurses, manufacturing, every part of it. And so I think that particularly in, back to your question, in the service industry, what we are finding and what people that, you know, for instance, frequently go out to restaurants find is that there is that competition that I'm referring to. And sometimes we're hearing of employees that are leaving one establishment to go to the other for what seems to be a, you know, a pretty low difference in what they're getting, you know, their hourly wages. So, but I think that is going on a lot, particularly in the service industry. You can't help but drive up to and down the street, whether it's McDonald's or welding, and see a $1,000, $3,000 signing bonus. So I think companies are dealing with it. It still remains a problem. Don't get me wrong. It's a challenge that we have. But as long as we continue to grow as a community and grow our businesses and expand our businesses, it's a good problem to have.
Nationwide, we've got a string now of 121 consecutive months of economic growth. It's the longest streak in history. Here locally, at least on the Fargo-West Fargo side, the business climate with the state, low taxes is good. People I talk to in the business community are still very bullish on the future, even though we hear some of the Wall Street economists and the talking heads saying, oh, I think it's starting to feel really uncertain. I don't sense that uncertainty here locally. How about you?
I don't sense it at all. And I think if you look at, what was it, 8, 9, 10 years ago when the national economy tanked, and I wasn't living in this market at the time, but from everything I heard, it really didn't affect the local economy here. And I think that's what we're going to find if, in fact, the rest of the country experiences, you know, some challenges. I think we're just strong. We have a lot going for us. We have businesses that are committed to being here and to doing what it takes to being here. We have companies that are doing great things, whether you think of a household staple like Microsoft. Aldevron is, yeah, you know, a company that, other than locally, people don't know about, but what a tremendous amount of things, research that they're doing on important issues.
Yeah, and new businesses relocating here all the time. Craig, I wish we had more time. Thank you for coming. Great to see you again. Appreciate the visit tonight.
Thank you.